Welcome to the National Association of Realtors Commercial Connections Podcast. This is the forum that features interviews with top commercial experts from across the country, sharing their best practices to help you improve your business.
Welcome to Commercial Connections Podcast. Hi, I'm Alex Ruggieri. My guest today is Joe Cosenza. Joe is vice chairman and director of one of the four original principals of Inland Real Estate Group, Incorporated. As vice chairman of the Inland Real Estate Group and president of Inland Real Estate Acquisitions, Inc., he currently supervises an extensive staff engaged in property acquisitions and due diligence. Also a consultant to many other real estate entities and lending institutions, Joe has personally overseen and or negotiated the purchase for Inland of more than $37 billion, that's billion with a B, of income-producing real estate in over 3,000 individual deals, of which over 700 are in the greater Chicagoland area. Joe's one-of-a-kind, high-volume deal-making has received many awards in the industry. Most recently, he was inducted in the Chicago Association of Realtors Hall of Fame at the organization's 128th inaugural gala. In addition, he is prominent in the banking industry. Joe was a director of Continental Bank's branch in Oakwood Terrace and chairman of the board of the American National Bank of DuPage. He has served as chairman and director of Inland Bank and Trust and as a director on the board of Inland Bank Corp., which has 10 Chicagoland locations. Well, welcome to the call today, Joe.
Thanks a lot.
I am so excited to have someone of your stature in our industry on our Commercial Connections podcast. As we were, you know, talking a little bit about this last week, I was explaining that our target audience primarily with Commercial Connections is the commercial practitioner, member of NAR, coast to coast, and they benefit significantly, I believe, from having a little bit of a window into some of the leadership, some of the outstanding individuals in our industry. And today, I think we have the opportunity to share your story a little bit with them, and I think they'll be listening with bated breath here. Maybe we could just start with, you know, you're at such a lofty stature in the industry. How did you get started in this business?
Well, actually, three of my there's four partners, and mm-hmm. Three of us were in college together and ran the fraternity together, and we were all in college to become teachers. And as we started to teach, we met the fourth individual. So the three are Dan Goodwin, Bob Parks, and Bob Baum, and myself. And we're all still working today, you know, no difference. This is back in 1968 when we actually started the company.
Incredible.
And we did it on a part-time basis. We got our broker's license by going to school that summer, and we decided, my partner Dan Goodwin decided, well, why don't we do something on the side and earn some money in addition to teaching? And so we got our license, and Dan says, why don't we find someone who owns some lots in the city? We could buy the lots, we could build houses, we could sell the houses, and we could set up limited partnerships for each one, et cetera, which is exactly what we did. None of us had any money, nor our parents, but we went to our friends, relatives, and teaching associates, raised the money, bought the land, built the houses, sold them, and then in about 1969, 1970, the money crunch hit the country, and so we thought, wow, you could really get burnt in new construction. So people were making a bit of money with us and wanted to continue, and so we said, why don't we find something to buy where we could have a steady income coming in, extrapolate the the numbers into the future to see how they would go. And so we decided, let's go into apartments. And we started to buy up apartment buildings, smaller buildings. Sometimes we actually built some three flats, but basically some three flats, six flats, eight flats, then larger, and then all of a sudden we're into the 70s, deep into the 70s, and by the end of the 70s, we probably had around 15 to 20,000 units right in the Chicagoland area that we could actually drive to.
Oh, my goodness.
Now, by the way, after 6 years, we had to leave teaching because it became too much to do everything after 3:15, and on Saturdays. So,
are you telling me you built a portfolio of 20,000 units while you were still working full time?
No, we got to about I'd say we got to about 3 to 5,000 units while we're still all teachers.
Incredible.
Yeah, that was
what
amazing
story. And you know what's so wonderful about it is it's your buddies and you're all still together. That's pretty cool.
Oh, yeah. It is amazing. We never had a major fight. Nobody's a slacker. We all work hard in our little area of the business. I ended up being the one that was the one that had enough guts to negotiate with a seller when we didn't have any money to buy the property. And so I still do that, only now we have the money.
Wow.
And so now you're into the beginning of the 80s, and some of you on this call may remember that the beginning of the 80s, the interest rates just shot up to 15, 16, 18%. And not only that, the good thing was that President Nixon instituted a very quick depreciation for real estate. So it gave people tax losses if you invested into the real estate. So I would say by around 85 to 86, we had maybe 48,000 apartment units. And again, most of them, if not all, I could drive to. Around the Chicagoland area,
wow.
Wisconsin, et
cetera. Right.
And now, toward the end of the 80s, people may remember that the tax laws got changed. And when that happened, not only did it sink people in their investments because it made it much less valuable, especially ones where they counted on tax losses. Ours were really more economical, but still in all, not only did a lot of people lose money then, but the savings and loans were going under left and right. And so at the end of the 80s, we had about 400 partnerships. The bottom 5% to 10% needed help. So we came up with a plan. Well, we don't want anyone to lose money with us, so what do? We decided to start investing in large retail companies to do sale leasebacks with them. It took us about a year to get into Walmart. We visited them. They liked us. We had the same accounting firm as theirs. They liked us, and we started to do business with them. Well, we became their largest landlord. We did over 150 stores with them over
Incredible.
The years. But all I needed at the beginning was maybe 5 or 10 stores. And we did tax-free exchanges. We purchased the stores. Inland put up all the money, and the investors voted to exchange into them. Then we sold their assets, which weren't doing very well, didn't get much money out of those assets above the debt, and that program cost us about $16, $18 million. But remember, this is the late 80s, and so we were pleased that none of our investors ever lost any money in their deals. And so then in the mid-90s, 95, we decided it's now time to get into retail. And so we started our first REIT, Real Estate Investment Trust. Most of our investors had come through broker-dealers, financial planners, et cetera, even accounting firms that would bring investors to us. And it continued on. And the first REIT, Inland Real Estate Corporation, after about 7 years, 8 years, went on the New York Stock Exchange. We were able to ring the bell in the New York Stock Exchange instead of ringing the school bell. It was great. And
oh my God.
And then the second REIT started in 2000, and that was Inland Retail Real Estate Trust. And that one, instead of going to the New York Stock Exchange in 2007, we sold to DDR for about $1.8 billion more than all the assets cost us. So everybody made out who was an investor there, and of course, we as the sponsor did so also. And then we formed Inland Western, and that became about $6-7 billion in assets. It's now on the New York Stock Exchange as Retail Properties of America. Then Inland American is about $8 billion in assets. Then Inland Diversified. And these are still not on the exchange yet, but they may become on the exchange in a short period of time. During all this time, we have managed everything that we own except the hotels, because you can't, a REIT cannot manage their own hotels.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
That kind of brings you to today.
That's incredible. What a story. You know, because what I heard there was the story of real estate for the last several decades, because I've lived through a lot of that. I've been almost 40 years in this business. And yet I also heard the story of America and, you know, hey, with you don't have to be born into money. If you're willing to work hard and you're willing to, you know, put your nose to the grindstone, look what you can do. I mean, a couple of teachers get, you know, coming out of college and buddies and starting their company. And what an incredible story.
Well, thank you.
And the other thing was, and we're running out of time, so I don't want to talk too much, but the other thing was how you managed to survive all the ups and downs that we've been through, and not only survive, but keep everybody intact. That is really laudable and amazing, you know, because I lived through a lot of that, and people were falling by the wayside. I remember Dallas, Texas, I mean, it was just terrible in the tax.
Oh, during the 80s? Oh, my goodness. I actually kick myself for never going and buying all of those apartments that ended up being owned by the RTC. Darn it.
Oh, yeah.
I bought back a huge amount of debt from them at a very, I think about a 20 or 25% on the dollar. But I never went and bought those apartments I should have.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think you did okay, Joe. You and your partners. We're kind of coming to the end of the interview, but before we get away, what would you say to somebody, a commercial practitioner out there, maybe just starting, or somebody who's been in the business for a few years, but, you know, what are the three benchmarks that have kind of guided you and your partners through all these decades?
Well, I think you have to meet the right partners. Now, what does that mean? It doesn't necessarily mean that they have to be intelligent. It means that you have to be able to work together. You respect one another. Sure, you sometimes I'll rant and rave and yell and scream and walk out of the meeting and I'm fine. But that's my personality. I get it out and that's it. Furthermore, you cannot have a love for sleep. I have a total disregard for sleep. I'm in my office at 5 a.m. to 6 a.m. every morning. None of us go out and eat lunch. We are very detailed people. And because we were teachers, two of the good things about teachers is, one, you plan ahead because you have to know next Thursday how are you going to teach this geography class. And you plan the same way in real estate. And lastly, we have great bladders because as a teacher, you can never leave your classroom until recess time.
I love that. That's great. Well, and really, what you're saying is you got to have a sense of humor through it all, too. And I think that's
wonderful
because You know, as much as you've achieved, you know, some people could just take that and be up in the stratosphere, but that's just awesome and down to earth. Well, I cannot thank you enough for sharing the insights of Inland and everything that you and your partners did to grow into such a wonderful organization that it is today. We're out of time, but I want to thank you for being with us today on the Commercial Connections podcast.
You are so welcome.
Thanks for being with us on the Commercial Connections podcast, the place for you to learn the best practices from the best commercial experts in the country.